Our text for this morning is the gospel lesson, which we heard, Luke chapter 19, verses 28 through 40. I share with you again these words, beginning at verse 33. As they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, "Why are you untying the colt?" And they said, "The Lord has need of it." And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they sat Jesus on it, and as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. As he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." This is our text. Dear Christian friends, this past Friday, I suspect that those who headed out early for the sales actually started even earlier, studying the advertisements and making a plan for exactly what they were going to go for and where it was, rather than just taking off and wandering around. It may be that those who have their Christmas decorations up already started even earlier than this as well, maybe studying holiday magazines, creating a picture of exactly what they wanted to accomplish. What are our goals this Christmas? Is it to end up with piles of stuff and piles of debt? To have a good time with family and friends and lots of good pictures to remember them by? Or to enjoy being part of Jesus' holy family? To receive the glorious gifts of God's kingdom? To have the pile of the debt of our sins removed, and to have lasting joy. Today, as we begin a new church year, our text helps us to look where we are going when Jesus comes again to bring us into the kingdom of God. The big picture of the themes of our Sunday Advent services this year is following a common pattern for prayer, that is, first adoration, then confession, then thanksgiving, and then supplication. Today's text pictures resounding in praise. Next Sunday, we'll think about repenting in preparation, then rejoicing and praying, and finally, receiving the promise. Today, we rejoice in praise as we see the big picture of how Jesus is going to be a glorious king. At the same time, we see that Jesus is going to humble himself, and so we see how we are going to follow Jesus into heaven. Let's think first about how Jesus is going to be a glorious king. We read, when he had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you shall say this, 'The Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent away went and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of it.'" It's fascinating to me how in suspense shows like Mission Impossible, I watched that all the time when I was a kid. It's amazing to see how the lead characters are able to make these precise plans and preparations timed right to the second. Because somehow they have detailed diagrams of these places that they're going into, and they know exactly how things work. Jesus demonstrates that kind of knowledge here. He knows exactly where he's going and how to get there. First, he knows how to get the colt for this operation. Now, some suggest it's by his divine knowledge of everything that he knows this. I don't really think so myself, because during his state of humiliation, he deliberately did not use his divine powers to help himself. I think it was because he was such an amazingly good observer of people. He just knew people. He knew how to pay careful attention. He knew lots of people. I think he knew the owner of this colt, and he knew exactly how he would respond. And so the message the disciples are sent with was, "The Lord has need of it." So why did he need it? Was it because he was so tired walking all the way from Jericho? I think this was to fulfill God's prophetic plan. Just like when he told the disciples when he was being arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, this has to happen so that the scriptures will be fulfilled. Same reason he needed the colt, to fulfill the scriptures. So again, how did he know the details of all of the plans for him as the Messiah? Again, I think it was not just his divine knowledge, but because he also knew very well the scriptures. He paid careful attention to them. And there he saw all the details of his life and his death, just as he pointed out to the disciples after his resurrection, "Oh, you foolish guys, every bit of this is written there in the Old Testament. Let me show you." One of these details was Jesus entering into Jerusalem just like the peaceful king, King Solomon, who came to his coronation riding on a donkey. Even the detail that an animal that is sacrificed for the use of God is to be one that has not been used for any other purpose. Another thing that had to happen, according to Scripture, was the praise. So that even if the disciples and the children along the way hadn't done it, the stones would have cried out, because his creation just has to honor him. The Savior reigns, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and mountains repeat the sounding joy. All of this is because he is destined to be the King of all. Our text begins in verse 28 with saying, "When he had said these things." What things is that? Well, what he had just said in the verses before this is the parable of the king who gives resources to his servants and then later comes back in judgment of how they abused him. Jesus himself is that king, and he knows what he's talking about. One sign of this is what he says has to happen. When he tells the disciples to go on what surely seemed like a fool's errand, they go, because he's the king. When he says the colt will be there, it is, because what he says happens. When he says the owners will let it go, they do. Just as shortly before this, and the people have this in mind, they're thinking about the wonderful things he's done. One of those things is when he said to the dead Lazarus in his tomb, "Come out," and he does, because Jesus says so. And when he says to you today, "This is my body, and this is his blood," it is, because he says so. And when he says that it is for our forgiveness, it is. Others caught on to what he was saying and where he was going. So the disciples start shouting, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord," without fully realizing, I expect, all the implications. The Pharisees had a premonition about the upheaval that was going to result from this, and they said, "Don't go there." But that's exactly where Jesus was going. Jesus is going to humble himself. They brought the colt to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they sat Jesus on it. One of the other Gospels recognizes this as fulfilling a prophecy about the Messiah coming humbly, that is, riding on a colt, to his exaltation. Sometimes when I drive, I take off with a general idea of where I am going, and as a result, I end up not taking the best route to get there. That'll happen in Mankato especially. You oftentimes have to take a roundabout route. Let's say, for example, you want to go to here, to the mall, which is straight east of here. You go east down Carlson Drive, and I guarantee you're not going to get there. Or if you want to go from here to Sibley Park, which is straight south, you go all the way to the south on Luray Drive, you're going to come to a dead end. The reason is because of the valleys. Well, going to Jerusalem is like this too. To go to Jerusalem from Bethany on the Mount of Olives, you have to first go down into the valley, that is the Kidron Valley. For Jesus to get to his kingdom, the point is, first he has to go down. Down as the eternal Word becomes a newborn baby, with no memories and no words at all. Down as a weak child, down as a homeless person, down across this Kidron Valley again to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he goes down on his face in agonizing prayer and is arrested and is taken before Pilate and falls down under his cross on the way to Mount Calvary and is finally taken down dead from that cross, until these very disciples that set him up on his colt lay him down in the tomb. Jesus knew by heart this part of the plan as well. And so he tells his disciples in the chapter just before this, "Everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise." You know that in opening a combination lock, you have to go in one direction and then back the other way in a precise manner. Jesus knew the combination, the precise steps to unlock the chains of sin that bind us, to open up the prison of hell that awaits us, and to open up for us instead heaven. The crowd that Jesus was going with into Jerusalem was going there for Passover. They were going there to celebrate God's delivering his people from death by the blood of a sacrificial lamb. No wonder they shouted, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," because these words are a quotation from Psalm 118, which was always sung as part of the Passover meal. No wonder we also sing these same words when we receive the body of that same lamb in the unleavened bread of Holy Communion. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the whole world, to free us from slavery that ends in death, and to welcome us into the eternal banquet of heaven. And so we are going to follow Jesus to heaven. As he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Along with these disciples, we too are following with Jesus into the holy city. Now, if you're going to follow someone on busy streets or in a crowd, it's good to have a very clear idea of exactly what that one looks like that you're following. It also helps to know ahead of time the route that you're going to take. We are on the way to celebrate Jesus' presence at Christmas. And so today we are looking to see where we are going, and we are looking at it carefully at who it is we are following. We are connecting the dots between peace in heaven and glory in the highest, that we hear in this text, and glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, that we hear the angels say when he is born. There can only be glory in the highest for us when there is peace on earth because of peace in heaven. Peace between us and God brought by Jesus. We are joyfully following Jesus, but first we follow his humility in the repentance of the Advent season. We who would be among these disciples who are accompanying Jesus also find ourselves among those disciples, possibly the very ones here, who very soon afterwards abandon Jesus in their words and their behavior, until they're brought back again by the preaching of Peter at Pentecost, the preaching of repentance. For the world, this season that we are entering is a game of let's pretend. Let's pretend that everything is wonderful and everyone is happy. Let's pretend that we can actually afford all this money that we're spending on things. But these paths that seem to go up often lead down. The ways in which Jesus leads us in following him often lead down first in the humility and obedience and difficulty and patient endurance and even suffering. But neither the delights nor the difficulties of this life will last. We are headed to God's eternal glory in the highest, which can only happen when there is peace on earth. How can heaven be at peace with a world that too often ignores God, disregards his will, takes his blessings for granted, turns the celebration of his grace into just one more excuse to eat too much and drink too much and spend too much on stuff we don't need? It can happen because Jesus the King has come even to us. He who can use a lowly colt for his purposes can use braying donkeys like us as well. Like the disciples who didn't fully understand what they were doing, but simply followed Jesus' words, we here today also listen to Jesus' words, calling us to repent, to be forgiven, and to believe what he promises. Jesus knew where he was going. He knew what he was doing. He knew he was bound for glory, and thanks to him, so are we as well. Jesus is going to be a glorious king, just as the prophetic words of Scripture say. But Jesus is going to humble himself, which is what needs to happen for us to be saved, and brought with him to his glory. And so we are going to follow Jesus to heaven. We too follow him on that path to humility, believing the promises of God's word, which show us the big picture of the plans that God has for us both in this life and forever. May God grant that this is true for each of us. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in true faith to life everlasting. Amen.